It's 148. Oh. 148 here on WGN. Had to wait for the laugh there. The virus has spawned so many new lawsuits. There are a number of these out here, some I have never heard of ever before. And in my career, I have covered a lot of bizarre lawsuits. However, these just seem entirely new to me. So I thought, let's talk to Karen Conti, Conti Law. You hear Karen on WGN Radio about some of the stuff that's out there. Hey, Karen, how are you?
Good, Anna. How are you doing?
All right. I've got the stack here and I'm just looking at them. I honestly didn't even know these things could happen. The state of Missouri is suing the Chinese government over its handling of the coronavirus. The attorney general there says they did little to stop the spread, and now they want damages for each and every citizen in the state of Missouri. I thought, I got to talk to Karen about that. Is that, I just seems like something that I don't know how that would ever be collected, how that would ever be successful.
Yeah, you don't see these very often because it's really difficult to sue a country. There's actually treaties that say you can't do that, except in certain circumstances. And interestingly, this could be an exception, and that is when a country engages in commercial activity that adversely affects another country. I think you've got all kinds of issues here. It would be interesting to see if all the states would join in this lawsuit, because it seems to me if there's damage, everyone has sustained that damage. And then the question is, will the Chinese government come and defend it? And let's just say there is a billion-dollar verdict, then how do you collect it? You just start taking away pieces of China and take Hong Kong and sell it? I don't know how that would work.
Do they show up in court? I mean, how does this work?
Generally speaking, a country would come with an attorney and usually move to dismiss it on technical grounds, saying, you can't sue us. Here, I don't know how that's going to happen. And again, this could all be for show, too. It could be the attorney general wants to grandstand a little bit and point fingers and say, look at the damage they caused by not jumping on this as soon as they could, make a statement and go away. He certainly made news this week doing it. But are they really going to be successful and get a judgment? My guess is probably not.
Probably not. Yeah, it just it seems so strange. And like you, I wondered, okay, is this the first one? And now every day now we're going to see a new attorney general follow suit. I don't know.
I mean, there's something appealing about it, right? I mean, I think there's this common perception that China didn't tell us what was going on when they should have, and had they taken action a little sooner, we may not be in this problem that we have now, and we all know how much it's costing each and every one of us every single day, not just to mention our health, but the money situation. And, you would like to see some sort of lawsuit be successful. I just don't know from a technical standpoint if, suing a country is going to be the way to go here.
Mm-hmm. In Wisconsin, I don't know if this is the way to go, Karen Conti, but they're suing the governor there over the stay-at-home order. He said that he should not be extending the stay-at-home order. This one may be as political as it is legal, because I know it's a Republican versus a Democrat, and maybe that goes into different waters. Maybe this one also for show. Can anybody sue over the extension of a stay-at-home order if they feel it did some sort of damage to their business?
Well, of course it's doing damage to businesses. People are going bankrupt over this. We're all suffering. I don't think there's a single person on this earth, except maybe the people who are making hand sanitizer, who are doing well in this. The issue is the state police power. That is, through the Constitution, states have the power to keep its citizens safe. That's why there's inoculations and vaccines, and why we get to make laws about people wearing seatbelts and helmets on motorcycles. Those are all things that the government can do from a state perspective to keep people safe. Certainly they have the obligation and the right to tell people to stay at home if there's a virus. So there's nothing illegal about that. Now, the question is, if this gets extended over and over and people are not allowed to do certain things, maybe that is an overextension, and maybe that's the laws will be deemed to be too broad. But at this point, I don't think they have a leg to stand on.
Before I get to the others, Karen, we have a question from a listener. Are the courts open, even open during this whole crisis? Are we just accepting certain cases and not others? How are the courts fielding and prioritizing what they get to?
courts are closed, but you can still file divorces. You can still file things. And if you have an emergency, like an order of protection, or you're not getting child support and you can't survive, those things will be heard by emergency judges. Then we have the criminal courts, and those are cases are proceeding because they have to. There's a Speedy Trial Act that's part of the Constitution. So a lot of those cases are going forward via Zoom and teleconferencing. So the answer is that courts are basically closed for routine matters, but as to criminal cases and emergencies, there are ways that you can have your matters heard.
Okay. What about, 815 says, but the Illinois Constitution only grants the governor 30 days for shutting down our state. Is that true for emergencies?
I don't know of any law or rule that says that exactly. Certainly, I mean, if there was an emergency and the governor had to make rules to keep people safe, that would be extended. I've never heard of a 30-day rule.
Okay. Amazon being sued. There's a class action lawsuit about all the excessive prices, the price gouging, as it's called, for basic goods like toilet paper and hand sanitizer and all the stuff we were trying to get our hands on. Some of that seems to be freeing up more now, but this lawsuit is going forward, and it's a mother of five who is the lead plaintiff who said that she paid $99 for a 36-pack of toilet paper, $200 for... a two-pack of hand sanitizer, bought big bottles, I think, but a lot of dough. And so now they're saying, okay, well, we're going to go back and go after them for price gouging, selling this stuff.
Yeah.
Can they do that? Is that, yeah.
Yeah, there's a law that says that within 30 days of an emergency in the state, most states have this law, that you can't price gouge, and that means to charge exorbitant amounts of money for something that's routinely purchased. So if the people are target, say, is increasing prices of toilet paper from, say, 10 to 30%, that would be deemed to be okay, but it's when you have 600% increase in toilet paper and food items, that's when it's going to be deemed to be price gouging, and that's against the law.
I know that the attorney general here, Kwame Raoul, was on our show as well, saying report it if you see it, if you still see it, because he was saying even some small little shops and places like that are, you know, really hiking it up. And that if you see something that does seem like it's price gouging, they want to know about it. I do want to get to this before we run out of time, because this is a big one. And I'm hearing from many friends who have season tickets for Major League Baseball and that kind of thing. There's also that lawsuit, another class action one. Fans are suing Major League Baseball about ticket money. Saying that they want their money back for their tickets if there's no season, if there's no games being played right now.
Yeah, I think that's a good lawsuit, right? I mean, you pay $2,000 for season tickets and there's no season and you're not getting your money back. You know, this is not a rain check. Rain checks are when there's a delayed game and there's something in the back of the ticket that says we can have a rain delay and a rain check and we can give you a ticket to another event. But here, when the whole season probably is not going to be played, these people, I believe, have a right to get their money back. And it's what we call impossibility. So it's impossible for the games to go on because of what's going on. And so in a case of impossibility, that means the contract is no good. And if you gave money to the MLB and they're not producing the games, then that would be a windfall to Major League Baseball. Why should they get to keep the money? That's basically the analysis. And I think we're going to win that one.
Interesting, because it does seem like if you are a season ticket holder, you're basically kind of loaning that money at this point to Major League Baseball. They're holding on to it, but they're not producing the games. And it just feels as if, you know, a lot of people probably feel like they can use that money right now that they didn't necessarily expect was going to be as necessary as they thought.
You're seeing a lot of these lawsuits. I know that health clubs are keeping people's memberships and continue to bill people when it's not open. I know that United Airlines was sued because they're offering free tickets rather than refunds, and there's class actions on that. And the basic law is that the contract performance is impossible, which some of these things are impossible, then money should go back and the contract should be deemed to be void.
All right, Karen, that is... it's fascinating stuff. These are strange times, and there are strange lawsuits out there, but it sounds like some of them are real and have a real chance of being successful.
Yeah, and because, you know, the predators are out. I really believe it. Everyone should be forewarned that there's all kinds of stuff going on now. People are saying there are cures and preventative measures and scams are going on, and the predators are out. And when the predators are out, the lawyers are on top of them suing everyone. So.
Thank you, Karen. Karen Conti, good to hear from you.